The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of Biology, it's Professor Stephanie Conant. Now, this course that you were coming from.
Yes.
This must have been senior seminar.
It was senior seminar. Okay. Yep. The last talks were today.
So what did you hear about today?
Biofuels, organic farming, and fluoride in the water.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So I'm guessing a pre-dent was doing the
yes,
fluoride
of course.
Presentation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Any conspiracy theories bubble up to the top?
No. There was a couple of what moments on my part. But otherwise, you know, they survived their 20 minutes in front of the class. So
20 minutes, wow. That is actually tough when you got to be an expert.
Right. I tell
I don't
them
know how we do it, frankly.
Well, they survive. I'm like, you've survived worse things for 20 minutes.
That's true.
And it'll be over soon. So.
That's true. And to my right, from the Department of English, is Professor Heather Hill Vasquez.
Hello.
Editing something
related to
core
that's
curriculum.
C word.
Shared governance. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. The core cookie committee.
We should have a cookie committee. It would get more people involved.
And we would be done with it by now.
Yeah. Although there'll probably be a lot of arguing over which cookie is best or, you know, something like that.
Or who has control over what kinds of cookies.
That's true. That is true.
How much is a cookie worth?
Kendra thinks she knows what the best cookie is.
What the chocolate cookie chip? Of cookies is?
It's oatmeal raisin.
Oatmeal raisin?
Mm. What about oatmeal chocolate chip?
No. I don't like chocolate chips.
Oh.
It's just a very flat
you don't
no.
like chocolate chips? Are you from some other world?
You probably don't like bacon or peanut butter.
I don't like bacon, but I love peanut butter. That was my second choice.
Actually, I don't like either bacon or peanut butter. So what's wrong with people who don't like bacon or peanut butter?
Yeah. They must be
They're not from around these parts.
Oh, my gosh.
Too
sure.
It's going to be dry.
We've already started a vigorous discussion. It started with cookies and ended with, well, continues with bacon and peanut butter. So, see, there's already discussion being had, Heather. Why not, right?
That's right.
We have a guest panelist with us here today. To Heather's right, it's Professor Mark Benvenuto from Chemistry and Biochemistry.
I guess that explains why I'm in a room I've never been in before.
Yeah. You've never been here?
Not once in my life.
We decorated just for you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Sound deadening panels on the wall are
this is where
very chic.
He has missed 1639 episodes of Ask the Professor. He hasn't missed much,
And they called
much,
my
says.
Name every time, apparently, so what can I say?
It's true, though, that you did have it right from following your email. Vivian's tried to get you here for a number of months. So we found a way to make it happen.
Maybe we should steal some expensive
And now
equipment.
She's going to regret it.
You just bring it over there?
And pretend to break it.
Yeah, pretend to drop it down the stairs.
Oh, thanks.
Everybody watched the video when Jason found it on Facebook, Mark.
Oh, great. It's good to know that went viral.
Even though Mark is an absolute, what could I say? You're a fan of April Fool's Day. Your students fake taking a very expensive piece of instrumentation and fake dropping it down the stairs
in front of me. Yeah, that was
on his way into class, no less.
Right.
For all listeners out there, it's on Facebook, UDM Chem Club.
Okay.
Yes, because in case anybody missed it, geez, we'd want to see that.
Right.
That's right.
That's Facebook, UDM Chem Club.
And please send us your questions about April Fool's jokes.
Right.
But they can, but do not have to include setting up Christmas trees on my desk, filling my office with balloons, or the repeated lubing up the doorknob of my lab with silicone grease. Thanks.
Across the table, stirring the pot, as per his job description, it's Professor Prasad Venugopal.
What do you want me to explain? I just want to say, I'm going to put a plug for you.
Which
okay?
way do you stir the pot?
I'm not stirring the pot. Mm. Veteransradio.net, correct?
Yes,
sir. Right.
A nice little interview with you. About your book.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tales of Mystery and Imagination, or something like that.
Whatever
it was.
Twisted
was
cool. Tales of the Virginia Military Institute. For anybody who's ever spent one day in uniform, remember the best of the worst.
VMI. Like I said, Tales of Mystery and Imagination.
Yeah.
All right. Also with an extremely decorated military record from the Canadian Royal Air Force.
It's called an arrest record. All those arrests, no convictions.
Professor
thank you.
Dave Chow from the pleasure College for Creative Studies.
Somewhat of a pleasure to be here. Forgive me for dressing up like the Unabomber. That's also.
It's okay.
I am just a little under the weather.
You've got to be true to yourself.
I'll thank you and Heather for passing that.
It's not a complete winter 2016 without getting something you've never had before. That's
right. Thank you, the both of you.
And we have an immunologist with us to fill in the gaps if we need it. So
I'm going to need like matzo ball soup 24/7.
That's right. Have you got what we usually call the Jewish penicillin?
I'm heading there after this.
Oh, there you go. See? Matzo ball soup. That's the way to do it. Professor Chuck Hokett is here from ITS. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I see you're wearing your shirt from your ASB a couple years ago.
This is from AWB from January.
Oh, the one from January.
Yeah,
very cool.
Katrina.
Okay.
I worked on houses there.
Down in New Orleans?
New Orleans. It was
very
good.
Very cool.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Are you going to be doing that again?
I'll probably do it in January again.
Okay.
The following January.
Sure.
Yep.
A little bit smaller group, if I remember.
Yeah, it's a little bit, but yeah, good group.
Yeah, alternative winter break. We have a nice bumper week before classes start now in the beginning of the year, which is always good to use productively.
Yep.
You're saving the world, and I'm at home probably playing video games. But
that's quite all right.
Hey, you got to stick with your strengths. Right?
Yeah,
darn right.
Getting ready for the long winter term.
The term is recharging.
Writing the syllabus.
Right. Wait a minute.
Exactly.
Your membership in the faculty union helps provide scholarships for students going on ASB and AWB.
Absolutely.
Right? So it works hand in hand together, right?
That's what I call
absolutely
for the silver lining.
Oh, totally.
Good fishing.
Yeah, I'm just putting a plug for the University of Detroit University professors.
Silver lining compass.
We also have Professor Kendra Evans here from Chemistry and Biochemistry, although you are also in recovery mode.
Is it recovery? I'd be glad to call it that.
Okay.
I think
are you ahead of the curve or still on,
I think
on the cusp?
No, I'm definitely. I mean, I've been hoarse since Monday. So
wow.
Since he was yelling at her large
freshman
class
to be
shut up,
better.
Sit down, and learn something.
Okay.
This week has had a higher than normal amount of phone conferences.
Dude.
So it's been unfortunate.
I was telling everybody who was willing to listen that you had gone off on one student in your class, and that's why you had lost your voice.
And none of the students were surprised.
That you lost your voice or that you went off?
Like it was about
the going
it
off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was trying to, like, up your cred, you know?
Yeah, right.
Didn't Kendra push a freshman down that stairwell?
It was a fake freshman down the stairwell.
Right.
It was a sophomore, but yes, that's exactly right. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can tweet at us using the handle @AskTheProfUDM or #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter, or find us on, as we've already heard, the Facebook. You know, we had just started, but not technically started, a series of questions written by our executive productress, Vivian Dix, on the Willow Run Powertrain Facility. And there's just a couple questions on these. So, Prasad is, why did I come to this show?
Oh, I should have stayed home.
This is where we had started, because we hadn't started. How many square feet does Willow Run occupy?
78,500.
It's quite a bit larger than that number.
Right.
And without Dan here, it's not easy to do the math.
78,600?
No. See, we need somebody to overshoot, and then Kendra will nail it. That's all.
You know who would have known this? Was Greg Sumner.
400,000.
Well, Greg Sumner definitely could have done it. 400,000?
Yeah.
It's a little higher.
Okay, Kendra, your turn.
I'm being asked. I actually have little breadcrumbs here. Don't forget, they built B-24s.
Uh-huh. Wow, okay.
At Willow Run. So
says it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that helps.
Were you a military guy? Come up with a reasonable answer.
600,000?
1 million.
It's higher than 1 million square feet.
100 billion.
It's lower than 100 billion.
Yeah. 4 million?
You know what? We're going to say 5 million square feet.
All right.
That's a lot of millions.
We'll take the gas pipe on that one.
That's a lot of square feet. Absolutely. But when you said that, I can't help but not tell this story because my kids actually do like to listen to the show. In my wife's family, there is a very held dear pancake recipe that's only served at certain holidays. And the number of these pancakes you can eat in one sitting is like a mark of distinction. And I like the pancakes, but I'm not going to gorge myself on Christmas morning, you know, and knock myself out just because I want to beat some record.
Why not? Isn't that the meaning of Christmas? To eat too much?
Yeah. So I taught my kids, because the family record is very well known and established by some brother of my father-in-law at 44 of these pancakes, to say at some undisclosed location, this is my kids talking, Dad ate 100 billion pancakes, which no one can disprove whatsoever for the record.
How about be tough.
In what year was...
By the way, that's 0.2 square miles.
0.2 square miles is 500 million square feet?
Oh, I thought you said 5 million square feet.
No.
Was it 500 million?
No, I'm sorry. 500 million.
Yeah, 500 million.
Yeah, 500 million square feet is the state
of
Michigan.
That might be pancakes.
It's that stupid 100 billion pancakes. And just guess. What year did construction begin on Willow Run?
1936.
Pretty close. You need to go a little bit closer to where we are today.
October 1936.
Well, I'm going with 1939.
It was before Pearl Harbor.
March 1941.
36 and 39.
FYI, a Canadian got it. Just like,
hey, what can I say? I'm good for something. Every now and then, not often.
We tried to blot out Pearl Harbor from our collective memory.
Who's we?
I don't know. But
Prasad and the mouse in his pocket. He's speaking French.
Yes. Got it. In what month did the first bomber roll off the assembly line? Hint, after March 1941.
Yeah. June. 1942...
September
1942.
It was September 1942. Wow. Together, okay. Chuck good. And Prasad. Very well done.
Team
very,
very well.
When Willa Run was built, another company, Consolidated Aircraft, was building one B-24 every month. How much time did Willa Run need to produce one B-24?
9 days.
No. It was very quick, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm. 5 days.
Like no. It was like a day or half a day or something like that. They were cranking
them
out.
Closer.
Like
6 hours.
It took 1 hour to put the
entire thing out.
Wow. I did not know that. I'm very impressed.
They were spitting them out.
They were doing one every 30 days, and they started doing one an hour?
Holy cow. Small features such as cup holders?
You know, good question. Right? Did they paint the teeth and the Racer flames on the side?
Did they have Rosie on there, too? I mean, you know.
Vivian, you can award yourself a mug for that one.
Yeah,
take several. Take several.
Take one, too. That's awesome. What U.S. icon story begins at Willa Run?
Rosie
the Riveter.
Rosie the Riveter, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Very well-known icon. Although, there's only less than 10 left, I'm thinking.
At this Rosies point, or
10 Rosies left in the entire country.
Didn't they have an anniversary
like that. They had an anniversary recently, What university was involved in training and housing some of the thousands of workers who worked at Willa Run?
Eastern Michigan?
Nope.
U of M?
It was U of M. It was the University of Michigan.
They were close. They were nearby. They weren't busy.
That's right.
We hope.
They weren't busy.
Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
I'm going to give that person.
Everyone's wearing khakis.
Hey, wearing khakis. Hey.
Okay. We have a set of questions here. Dear professors, it's been a while since I put my digits to the keyboard and wrote some questions. While fending off a horrible code, the last week of cold, between Kleenexes, I came up with 15 questions. I'd like to think that my cold-induced questions are challenging, keep the professors guessing, but they're not on colds or sickness in particular.
Oh, thank goodness.
I know.
Sorry, Steph.
Well, we'll find out if they're germane to the show.
Ooh. I asked a while back and never really got an answer. But would there ever be a live broadcast or video feed of the show anytime soon? I know you all claim to have faces for radio.
We do have faces for radio.
But I think there'd be plenty of fans who would love to see the panelists in action. All the best from Missoula, Montana, Lara Benson. Thanks, Lara. I'm not sure about live stream, but there's always tomorrow. Outside of the Americas, what other country?
Australia.
Oh, that's I'm outside.
Sorry. Tell you what, outside. I'll get my mouth in gear after we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Live on tape from my dining room, the University of Detroit Mercy presents
Unplugged.
If we don't get this on the air pretty soon, we'd be too far in the bag to do
I'll
it.
I'll tell you, this is amazing. Yes, the world tour continues and didn't get any farther than this.
Hey, this is a great place to be.
Anyway, the University of Detroit Mercy prevents Asser Professor as if they could try as hard as they might.
Successive generations of administrations have tried.
And they failed.
And we're still here and they're gone. What were their names?
I don't know. What are their names now? Who cares?
And we're back with some great questions, even though I'm just implying their greatness because we haven't read them all yet, from Lara Benson of Missoula, Montana. I'm sure they're going to be awesome. Outside of the Americas.
Okay, Liechtenstein this time.
Where else would you find alligators but in the wild?
Oh, I was going to say in the zoo. Oh,
that would have been a good response.
Oh, probably India. Indonesia.
Not India. Not Indonesia.
No? What? They took them all out of Indonesia? So where do they put them?
Don't you guys have crocodiles?
Yeah, actually, we do have crocodiles.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, so who's got alligators?
Not in anywhere in Africa, no.
South America.
Nowhere in South America.
We're still in Asia somewhere.
I was just about to say, wait a second, I was right. Northern Australia has them, don't they?
No, they don't. Not according to this list of questions.
Alligators?
The difference between crocodiles and alligators, though.
Gators have to have fresh water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
There you go.
Oh. So where do we have a big freshwater estuary besides the United States?
In my backyard during the spring.
Hmm. Partial credit.
Oh, darn. You're going for Caspian Sea kind
North
of place.
Africa. It's outside.
Not Africa.
No, it's the Amazon.
Africa.
It's outside
Caspian
of the Americas.
Sea,
the, remember that.
Yes. Right. Oh, the Americas right. with a plural.
Central yeah. Asian republics.
What?
Sure.
You are now truly making it up.
Sure. It says here that the correct response
is... there some continent we don't know about, like Atlantis? I think we've hit them all.
China. What it says here.
Didn't I say we're still in somewhere in Asia?
Yeah.
You're somewhere in Asia.
We were hovering around India and those countries. Between India and Indonesia, we were just in the neighborhood.
China, right?
South China Sea.
Yeah.
I mean, they're close. Next door close. To each other. Right. You can hop a ferry and get to one in one day. That's no problem.
Of all the lawyers in the world...
12.
What percentage of them live in the United States?
Oh, 85.
Too many.
Is 85 is not far off.
Is this really? Including the Bernstein family or not including
the Bernstein family?
The Bernstein family themselves is
of the calculation.
Right. It really 70, 75.
You need to go just a little bit lower.
42.
Two-thirds.
76.
70. It says 66% of all lawyers live in the United States.
How strange that such an evil number be related to such an evil profession.
It's interesting. It's true.
Hey. That's right.
Actually, it's easy to calculate.
Evil.
For every single defendant, there's one defending lawyer and one prosecuting lawyer. It's
you think.
That's easy. True.
Yep.
Two-thirds.
Yep.
He solved it mathematically. Why was the highest level of karate accomplishment termed a black belt?
Oh, my God. I wish my son were here. He knows this answer.
Because they had more black belts in a warehouse somewhere than any place else.
No,
Mark, if I could, I'd give you partial credit.
Okay.
Because
so
if this is true, this is
crazy. You kept wearing the belt, and it went from white and got really dirty, and it became black.
Exactly.
I was going to say, it's something that's got
more levels you got, the more you could dye it to a darker color until you got to the final level.
Gotcha.
Oh.
So I am on a roll here.
So you're saying the long-lost paisley purple belt is kind of in between?
It's totally different.
Does that apply to lab coats also?
Oh, good point.
Yeah, it's just Paisley Park.
Oh, yeah, paisley and purple. Yeah, that's right. And raspberry. What TV show's claim to fame, besides its other claim to fame, which we'll find out when we get...
Combat, which my wife watches every night.
It is the first that had closed captioning. First ever show.
Anything on Dutch television.
It's not. It's American.
Green Acres.
It wasn't Green Acres. It wasn't a sitcom.
The Nightly News.
It wasn't the news.
Actually, it's one of the CSI shows.
It is not.
Wheel of Fortune.
I'm going to put this
is
in the
era. Is it one of the big three? Or
it could be 70s, 80s.
Oh. Jeopardy.
Different Strokes.
Nope.
Benson.
It was not a sitcom.
No.
Is it one of the big
Neither was Different Strokes.
It's not
game
a
show?
Sitcom.
Was it a game show?
You know, it wasn't a game show. I'll tell you what channel it was on. That will help. It was on PBS.
Oh.
This Old House?
Wasn't This Old House.
Sesame Street.
Bad game shows on PBS?
Not Sesame Street.
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Nope.
Did you say it was?
It is a game show.
It is not a game.
It is not.
Okay, so it's
got to
be something instructional, like
theater.
It was very instructional.
It was the news hour.
It wasn't the news.
The Windmill Air Hour?
No. Nope.
Darn.
Very instructional.
Masterpiece.
That painter guy.
Bob Ross. Bite your tongue.
Do it yourself.
But it was instructional.
What else did they teach on
PBS? This is interesting. You guys.
Pottery.
Totally.
Was it just like one of the public radio? You know,
Teletubbies.
I want to say public radio, but that's radio. But
right. Someone was showing you how
it
to
was
do
any telethon where they were asking
guy.
You to send in
that
money.
A cooking show.
It was a cooking show.
Julia Child.
That didn't take long.
It
just leaped out at us.
For the benefit of our guest panelists, we count that one as correct.
Yeah.
It's called teamwork.
As long as we get there eventually.
50 questions.
Oh, yeah. We only had about 36 more shows to go on PBS.
It was Julia Child's The French Chef on PBS. First closed captioning.
Were the closed captions in English or French?
Good question.
Yeah. Or what Vietnamese.
Well, the French words were in French.
English
words were in
that's true. No, they translated all the French words.
The English words were in German and the French
chef
words
there?
Were in Norwegian.
Beignet.
Today we're going to make crepes, but we're just going to call them pancakes.
Yeah.
What was the first American TV show to be broadcast in stereo sound?
Super Bowl?
It wasn't the Super Bowl. This was a regular show.
Sitcom.
It was not a sitcom. The year was 1984.
Oh, MTV's.
Was not MTV.
That was a bad guess.
Cable or regular television or cheapy?
Regular TV.
Was it an action show?
It was not action.
Okay. Wait, you're going for chips?
18.
I've been good.
18.
The Tonight Show?
It was The Tonight Show. That's right.
Chucky just pulled that one out of nowhere. Just, you know,
1984 with Johnny Carson.
Beats me. I wasn't even in the country in 1984.
The Tigers started the season 35-4 that year.
Wow.
In what year was the last printing of the encyclopedia we called Funk and Wagnalls?
Wow.
1984.
No, it was a little bit later than that.
1985.
It was not 89. It was later than that.
Kendra
usually just pulls a number.
I've never heard it. What?
Funkin' Wagnalls Encyclopedia.
1995.
It was 1997.
That's wrong. Plus or minus five.
Funkin' Wagnalls.
Plus or minus five.
I love those when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Partial credit.
Those make great doorstops.
Yeah. I mean, is this a facetious? I really don't know. Is it actually called that?
Yeah.
I've never heard of
John
that.
John Funk and Bruce Wagnalls.
Never one time.
Kendra, that's you and me.
And never heard of that.
At this people, I'm not.
Back in the days of real paper encyclopedias.
I know, but there was another Wagnalls, one, like World Britannica.
Britannica.
That's what we used.
Those are great.
Well, not knowing about it at this moment, I don't feel any less or more depressed about it. My life has not been.
Weren't they the do-all end-all for Jeopardy there for a while?
For a while, they were like fact-checking or something. Yeah. Oh, but seriously, bridging over to Britannica, what year did they stop printing Encyclopedia Britannica? Now, that's a big deal.
That was a lot closer.
It was more.
A little closer to the modern day. Yeah. Not 2007. A little bit closer to modern
2010.
Day.
2010.
It was 2010. Like,
Wow.
2010, they stopped printing it. Why bother?
I didn't even have time to Google it. That's how fast.
Because we have Wikipedia now.
What city was the first to display an aardvark in its zoo?
Columbus.
Brisbane.
It wasn't Australia.
Brisbane. Columbus?
Columbus? No.
United States?
It was not
Lincoln,
in the United
Nebraska,
States.
Right? I mean,
London.
Was London, yes. The biologist gets it right. London. And I'm sure people's minds were blown. What is that thing? It's just
but
weird
you didn't
shapes.
Do a British accent.
What is that thing?
Go back to the other one.
I like that was your Julia child.
Wow, I was kind of crossing over there.
It's
getting a little bit out of control.
Yeah, that was more Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah. Or Mr. Doubtfire.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. What vehicle is driven by the fictional character whose name is Fred Jones?
There's a really flamboyant fictional name.
Is it a VW Bug?
You're actually pretty close.
Beetle? Is it that van?
Oh, who's Fred Jones?
It's that one van,
it's
the Volkswagen van?
No, it's the Mr. Machine.
Yeah.
Freddy. I never knew Fred had a last name. Mm-hmm.
Still voiced by the same voice actor, by the way, in every incarnation since 1969.
Wow. Lord.
Oh, wow.
Who was the last British monarch who also was an emperor?
Liz's dad.
Elizabeth II?
No, not her.
First,
would it be, what is it?
It's her dad, Edward.
Edward VIII?
Is it doesn't say Edward here.
Or is it George, one of the two?
It's a George.
George the fifth.
George the sixth?
Wow.
Six,
wow.
Six,
George.
Six, seven,
once you narrowed
five,
it down to
four,
George,
two,
it had to be the sixth.
One or two. Three,
I'm assuming emperor because India was still
yep,
in the picture.
That's it.
Okay,
yep.
All right.
In the picture.
Because actually nobody could tell him otherwise.
Yes. I'm picturing that four-generation photo that we got of the Queen the other day with, you know, the tiny little boy in it, and his name is George, right? And I'm like, did you call this kid Emperor? That's weird. What does the CN stand for in Toronto's CN Tower?
Canadian National. National.
Canadian
yeah, that.
National.
Yes.
I got one before the Canadian did.
He's so sick, though.
Makes us even.
My grandfather worked on that.
He worked on the tower?
No, he worked on the CN.
Oh,
and the railroads.
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. We still see those trains go by in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
What U.S. president lived at a place called Shadow Lawn? Not
Whoa.
Much grass grew there.
That's a good one.
Nixon?
Wasn't Nixon.
No.
Before Nixon.
Before Nixon.
Before
Shadow
Nixon.
Lawn.
Shadow Lawn.
Coolidge.
Eisenhower.
Wasn't Coolidge. Wasn't Eisenhower.
Wow.
Does the name have any significance?
Yeah. Not really, except for I understand from reading history that he kind of wasn't a nice guy.
Johnson.
Oh, R.B. Monroe.
Not Johnson,
Taft.
Not Taft.
Nixon.
Not Monroe.
Not Nixon.
Garfield.
Wow.
I would hesitate to call it a modern era president, but it was more depression era president.
Hoover?
Nope.
FDR?
We're all over the map here.
Mr. Harding.
It was Woodrow Wilson.
Oh.
We would have got there.
That was your next guess, right?
You only had about 28 more to go. Bang on the money.
We're getting there. Circling it.
So relatively speaking, I understand from my history major wife, Buckingham Palace is not as old as Windsor. Who is the first monarch who lived in Buckingham?
George the Sixth?
No.
Oh, keep going back. You got five more Georges, right?
Yeah, I was going to say George.
George the Third.
No.
Was it a George?
It was not a George. Wow.
Was it an Edward? There's at least six of that.
There's no Edward.
No, it was Henry the Eighth.
It was not Henry. Mm.
I like how you answer so confidently, though.
Which one are we talking about? Which palace are we talking about?
Buckingham.
That's convincing. Buckingham.
Who the heck first lived there?
Ravens. Ravens live there. Oh, no.
It's true.
Oh, no.
Partial credit.
We missed it. No Georges, no Edwards. James, maybe?
John.
Nope. You guys are barking up the wrong genetic tree.
They're all the same, isn't it?
No kidding. Liz the First?
Nope.
There weren't many other queens.
Mary, Queen of Scots.
Mary, Queen of Scots.
Except for the most obvious British monarch who's female of all
Elizabeth
time.
Elizabeth
I? Elizabeth the Second.
Catherine.
Oh, Victoria.
My face is melting. It was Queen Victoria. Although, I got to say, QE2 has pretty much got everybody beat at this point. She's the most obvious.
Including Vic,
No, but we absolutely destroyed that question.
We pummeled that thing.
We're
proven ourselves to be a bunch of...
In whatever, how many of our shows I've been on, average...
Does anybody remember the Monty Python sketch where they said it's time for the Queen Victoria International, and then you go and all of the foot racers are dressed as Queen Victoria?
Your Lord.
The guy calls the race saying Queen Victoria, followed by Queen Victoria, Queen Victoria. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my
life.
Great
episode.
What does the D stand for in singer K.D. Lang's name?
Denise? Dawn?
Dolores.
It's Dawn. It's Dawn. Wow. I was going to give a clue about
it. It's got to be one of the...
Our colleague from mathematics, but you guys slam dunked it. That's awesome. Oh, man. It's time for us to say goodbye. That was a great set of questions, Laura. Thanks for sending them in. Professor Evans.
Bye-bye.
Professor Hokit.
Goodbye.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Venugopal.
Ta-ta.
Professor Benvenuto.
Alla tschüss.
Professor Hill Vasquez.
Arrivederci.
And Professor Conant.
Goodbye.
Now these words...
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu, tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor, or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM, or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page. It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, the chair of that department, Professor George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to have you here, as always. Right. On his right, in the Department of Theater and Performing Arts, Professor Arthur B. It's been a long 3 weeks. And on Arthur's right, from the Department of History and the Assistant Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and the Director of the Learning Center, Kathy Bush.
I'm too tired to say hello.
I know. It's one of those... months. Anyway, and on my left, from the Department of History, the chair of that department, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Why, Evan, you must tell me whose car is in the way. I just want to get out, but I can't, because there's that car in my way.
It's Rosalind Carter.
I've been trying to back up.
She's been hitting my car.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed today by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.